Well, good morning, and we're doing things a little bit differently today. It's a very special service of coming to God in prayer. And so I'm going to share a bit earlier. The kids are going earlier. They'll come back and join us in a little bit. We're using Psalm 55 as a guide for us today all the way through the service, and as a theme, these words from near the end of the Psalm, verse 22. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. It's a warning to look at his word and then to pray. We'll have a time of silent prayer. We'll have times when some people prepared to lead us. And together we come to God and recognize we live in a world that is a bit troubled. So I have two buckets, and I want your help up here. So I have one that says, here are things that are supposed to be pleasant. I mean, they are. They're supposed to be, right? So that's one bucket. And the other bucket says, but being pleasant isn't the point. Okay, so I need your help to sort some things, right? So dinner with friends. Supposed to be pleasant. Yeah, that's over there, right? Yeah, good, good. Okay. Financial planning. Pleasant is not the point. Yeah, I've heard that. Jeff, interview, probably not the point, that'd be pleasant. Okay. How about a day at the beach? Not everybody thinks it's pleasant, but that's the idea, right? How about a game night? So be pleasant. Some of us really like that. That's good. How about complex conversations? Right? So we'll put it over here. The point isn't that this is pleasant, right? There's something else that's a point. How about, no offense, Eric, the emergency room? Yeah, the point isn't to be pleasant, is it? Vacation? Supposed to be pleasant. Good, and final exam? No, that's what, yeah. Professors sometimes think, oh, this is so good. This is so good. A party with friends? Should be pleasant. Okay, now is a challenging one. Marriage. Okay, I want to show you something. We'll decide on this. So here's a picture from this past summer that these are two boys and her daughter Laura and her husband Nat. And I don't know if you can see the sweatshirt he's wearing, but I can zoom in. Marriage is hard, crossed out, worth it. Right? Now, I'm a bit optimistic. I think it's more than worth it. But you see the sentiment in it that says, you know what? When it comes to marriage, well, the point actually isn't that it be pleasant. But, you know, that ought to be a big part of it. But it's hard. But it's worth it, right? So we're going to go somewhere in between. And so then I would say, parenting, right? It's somewhere in here, right? The point isn't to be pleasant, but the hope is that this is a part of the journey. And I do want to say, when this is our calling, singleness. When God says, now you're in a season of singleness, I would say the same thing as this. It's hard and it's worth it, right? It's a combination of these things. And so then the question I have for us today is, what do you do with walking with God? Walking in God's ways. And it's not simple, right? It shouldn't be like going to the emergency room or a final exam all the time, right? But it's also not like having a party with friends. Right? There's something more going on. And I want to spend some time today thinking about what do we expect about a journey of walking with God, walking in God's ways. And in the service today, just coming with a very active sense that we're in many different places. One of the songs that we sing sometimes says, some of us come today ready just to praise God for the beautiful weather and the fall and the way God has blessed us in many ways. And some of us come having struggled just to get through the night. of wondering where God is, and some of us find it challenging to be in a space where people would say, how are you doing? And there's a temptation, I should say, oh, we're doing pretty well. And yet that's not what is a reality for us. And that's true for many of us. It's true for many that we love. So really want to pray for God's work today, for his presence. And so let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are a God of great love, that you long for us to be in fellowship with you, to walk together. You long to share your goodness with us. And you know that the journey can be hard. Father, we pray that you would meet us today. Help us to understand what it is to follow you. Help us to be aware that you do love us and that you're with us. And for those especially for whom the journey is a challenging one these days, and for those we love and know who are also in that place, would you, Holy Spirit, meet with us today? Bring the comfort of our God of all comfort and show us the paths that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we're just going to look at two verses in Matthew 17. We're continuing our journey in Matthew 17 of looking at Jesus' teachings that I think are very relevant to the church. And so we're looking at it because we're in this season of saying we want to be a more radiant church, a church that reflects the glory of God and his presence and his goodness. And one of the things we're thinking about is discipleship. Right? How do we grow in following God? And so both of those things bring us to the spot, a short reflection here, but let me first say this. Matthew is a fascinating book at giving us the life of a disciple. And so the disciple's journey in Matthew starts with the simple thing of following Jesus. And so these disciples, they didn't know much. But they encountered this man, Jesus, and he was unlike other people they'd known or seen. And we see in Matthew 4, he said, come and follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. And once they left their nets and followed him. And it quickly becomes clear, they didn't know what they were agreeing to. They didn't know what this journey was. They didn't really know who Jesus was. But there was something that said, I ought to explore. And this is a key part of a disciple, a journey of a disciple of Jesus. It begins by saying, I wonder if there's something there. I'm curious. There's something to pay attention to. And you know, it's true for some of us today to say, yeah, is this something to pay attention to? And it's a real first step. And so they said, okay, we'll spend time with Jesus. And through many things, it led up to this point where they came to know that Jesus is the Son of God. We saw this a few weeks ago in Matthew 16. Jesus said to his disciples, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because God has revealed this to you. This was a huge step to say, after all this time, I've come to the point to realize Jesus is no mere human being, not even a great human being. He is the Messiah, the Son of God, a huge step. And then, as we've seen over the last couple of weeks, they then had to take this other step to say, and given that he's the Son of God, unexpectedly he will suffer and die and then be raised to life. And so it started out exploring. Who is this Jesus? They come to this point, he's the Messiah, the Son of God, and that's overwhelming. And then he says, given that, you need to know that I'm going to suffer and die. And so we read this basic statement multiple times in Matthew. From that time on, Jesus began to explain that he must suffer and die, and on the third day be raised to life. And he said, disciples must deny themselves, take up their crosses, and follow me. So he said, this journey of discipleship is not a simple one. And I'm going on a path that's challenging. And I find it fascinating to see, depending on how you count, there's like four times that Jesus said this. It all started when they said, we know you're the Messiah, the Son of God. But when he first said it, Matthew 16:21, it's denial. Jesus, no, you're confused. This doesn't make any sense. Right? Jesus, Peter says, Jesus, come over here. I need to share a little bit with you. You're confused. Jesus, Lord, Son of God. You're confused. But they couldn't make sense of this. So the initial step about suffering, about trouble in God's ways is denial. And sometimes that's part of the journey of discipleship that we encounter too. It's like, no, it all should be good. Right? And sometimes when people become Christians, it's just a beautiful first season. Right? Just everything is brighter and better and there's joy. And then part way in, it's like, oh, wait a minute. It's not all staying easy. And so then what we'll see today, when Jesus says it's the second time, now they hear it and they're in grief. There's deep distress. They say, oh, wow. This isn't just an idea. The Messiah suffering and dying is real. And then the next time Jesus says it, I think they're starting to get the idea that, he's going to be resurrected into a new kingdom. And so two of the disciples' mom shows up and says, hey, in that new kingdom, I want my kids to share in your greatness. Right? What an unexpected turn of events. But they go from saying, no, 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 suffering isn't anything. It can't be. To, wow, that's overwhelming, their suffering. And then, almost like, oh, yeah, there's this suffering thing, but wow, your kingdom. And then, the last time in Matthew 26, Jesus says, Passover is 2 days away. I'm going to get crucified. And it's almost now. It's like right here. And this woman comes and anoints him for burial, right? Because he just said, I'm days away from dying. And the disciples are like, no, 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 this is a waste of money, right? They're struggling to make sense of this. And it's a journey through this to say, okay, right? And I just see this journey of growth that says, who is Jesus? I don't know, but he's worth spending time with. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He can't suffer. And then, oh no, he's going to suffer. And then processing his new kingdom. And then the beautiful thing that eventually happens in Matthew is they come to meet Jesus, who is risen from the dead. Right? And when they do then come to this point, they meet him, the first thing they do is in worship. And then Jesus says, now it's your job to go out and make disciples. And I'm convinced that the journey they had is something like the journey that all disciples have. Right? From who is this Jesus? He's really impressive. He's the Son of God. Wait a minute. How can it be the suffering, troubling part of it? And yet on the backside of it is seeing his glory and his goodness. So what we're going to do is go back and look at the second time that Jesus introduced this idea to them. So Matthew 17, just verses 22 and 23. When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life. And the disciples were filled with grief. One of the interesting things is that they don't head out of Galilee. So Galilee is up the north, Judea is down in the south. That's where the suffering is going to happen. That's where his crucifixion is going to happen. They don't leave Galilee for two more chapters. So Jesus is really preparing them before this trip. He says, I want you to know where we're going. I want you to be aware of what's ahead of us. And so they come together in Galilee. They've been north of that. They've come together again, but they haven't started the trip yet. And he says, I want you to know that the Son of Man, which is how Jesus spoke about himself, will be delivered into the hands of men. It's a challenging word. It's pretty ambiguous. People dive into it. It can have betrayal as a part of it, but it might not be betrayal. It could be the work of God. Maybe both. But he says, this is what's going to happen. He's going to be delivered into the hands of men, and then those people are going to kill him. And then he says, on the third day, he will be raised to life. And it's fascinating that all these things are things that happen to Jesus. They're not things that Jesus goes out and does. But he is delivered over to people who will torture him. They will kill him. And then he will be raised to life. And so I think in this ambiguity, he says, people are doing this stuff. But God himself is working out his plan through people and what they're doing. And so that it is fascinating to see that the disciples' response to this is that they were filled with grief. Now we just said he's going to be raised to life, right? He says this every time. But it's like they can't hear that. It's been said if you go to the doctor and the doctor mentions cancer when talking about what might be true, can't hear anything else. You mean I have cancer? No, I didn't say you have cancer. I said that's, you know, a harmful. But when we hear something, it just stands out. And these disciples couldn't hear resurrection. All they could hear. And now they've really been grasped by it. that Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, is going to be given over, and he's the Son of Man, and the same word, he's going to be handed over to men. And they'll kill him. And that's what they hear. And they are troubled by it. They're not yet to the point where they can hear the hope, because they've been gripped by the trouble and the danger. And I think in this section that we see again in Christ, trouble is part of the journey until there's overwhelming and unending joy in God's presence. Jesus says he will be raised from the dead. But you know, sometimes all we can hear is this. Sometimes where we live is, yeah, there is trouble. There's trouble in our world, and we pray and there's still trouble. We hope, we think we have faith, there should be enough to get it to work right, and yet still there is trouble. And Jesus said that's a reality. He says, I want you as disciples to know there is trouble in this world. And then there is this overwhelming and unending joy when it comes. So, we've talked about different audiences. Jesus says, I need you, my first apostles, my 12 chosen ones, I need you to know this. Where we're going, I'm going to suffer and die. And you need to know that ahead of time. And then I do think that Matthew says to the early church, this is a reality. And it was for the early church. There was persecution. There was trouble. It didn't just come easily. And yet there's great hope in it. And I do think that Jesus wants his people to know the journey that we're on is not one that's meant, whose purpose is to be pleasant. That's not the journey that we're on. It says, if you follow Jesus well enough, it's supposed to be just a great time. He says, there is a point in the future where that's a reality. But he says, it's really important that we know that this journey includes trouble. It includes hardship. Best analogy I know, and I know it by observation, is childbirth. Anybody who says to a new mother, that there's a reason why we can't do the spinal block. We can't. You're just going to have to do this without any drugs. But don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. Bad idea, right? It's important for people to know when there is great pain ahead, but to say to someone who is going to give birth, the joy on the other side is worth it. Right? The joy on the other side is an amazing thing. And this is, I think, what Jesus is wanting to say to disciples. It's a bit like giving birth without anesthesia. It can be really, really painful and hard. And yet, well, I just have to tell a story for Karen, is that when our first was born, there was a reason why she didn't get the spinal block. She went without any significant medication. And when we were going in, she's like, I'm never doing this again. I'm not, no way. On the way home from the hospital with four, she's like, I could do that again. Right? Because of the joy that comes. Jesus says, the journey that you're on, it's a challenging one, but it's more than worth it. It's glorious, right? There is great joy that is there. Jesus said in John, this is why I'm telling you these things. I've told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. He says, it's important for you to know the journey of being a Christian is not figuring out how to live a better life, to pray better, in better community, so life is more pleasant. That's not the point. That's not the plan. It's good to learn to live better and to live in good community and to learn to pray. But the point isn't to make life more pleasant. It's something quite different. And this is what Jesus said. The reality is that then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. Right? So the reality is that he says, you're going to have to learn to deny yourself. You're going to have to learn that there are times that you have to make the choices, and some of us know this so well. For some of us, we have to literally make the choice between Jesus and family. It's a painful reality. Some of us literally have to make the choice between fulfilling who I think I am and following Jesus. And it's a painful thing, right? Some of us literally have to say, but I trust in my money. That's what's giving me hope for the future. And he says, but you've got to make a choice between the thing that you have your hope in and me. So he says there is trouble in this journey in part because we have to learn to put Jesus first. We have to learn to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow. Because in Christ, trouble is a part of the journey. And it leads to this overwhelming and unending joy in Christ. And so what do we do about this? I mean, how do we live? I think the first thing is to cry out to the God we trust. So we say it's a life of trouble. If that's true and yet it's going to glory, we need to cry out to God, the God in whom we trust. And so one thing that's so important is that though trouble is part of the journey, trouble is never the end of the journey in Christ. It's never the end of the journey. Right? Without that, we hope there will be joy before death. Right? We hope things will resolve before death. But in Christ, not even death is the end. And so we cry out to him because trouble can be a way to open the door to deeper fellowship with God. To know him in a way that when we walk with him, it's different. There's a richness that's there when we cry out to him in the trouble with the hope of what the future is. I was at a church conference this week and encountered a man who's planting a church in a context of poverty. So people who are just struggling to make it day to day, not sure where the food will be for tomorrow. And a beautiful thing that was very challenging for me is to realize there's a real poverty in thinking I don't need God. There's a richness that somebody says, I need my daily bread today. And that those who need God more so often know God more. This is why rich people have a hard time getting into heaven. Because there's no need for God. There's no fellowship with God because, well, I'm doing fine. You know, God, we can check in tomorrow and see if there's any need, but today I'm good. As opposed to those who know their need for God and that trouble can be this open door to a deeper fellowship with God. And so this is where we look at the idea of lament, of saying we want to cry out to God. We want to cry out to the one in whom we trust. And so that's a key part of what we're going to do in the rest of the service today. And in that is this idea of fellowship with God as we persevere, that we can genuinely walk with God. And so this idea of what Jesus said, he said, follow me. Will you be with me? If you're with me in the road of trouble, we are in fellowship together. Peter put it this way, if you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you are in a path that's troubling because of being with Christ, he says, there is a special way that you're in fellowship with God. And Akash has shared some of this with us, is this idea of people in Odisha who experienced direct physical persecution. There's a richness of the presence of God that is not there when all our needs are met and we go to God because we're supposed to. Right? When we go to God as an act of faith, the God we trust in our trouble, then he is the one who is present, who is powerful in a unique way. And so therefore, Peter says, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. So you see that we're in fellowship with God now, that we can be fellowship with God then. And the trouble now, there's a richness of fellowship with the hope of this overwhelming joy that will be in his presence that will come. So, I'll go back to my buckets. Right? So what is it to walk with God? Right? And it's tempting to think it's supposed to be easier, it's supposed to be pleasant. But it turns out that being pleasant isn't the point. And yet it leads to great joy that God is doing a work of transformation. He says, I want you to grow, I want you to change. I want you to know, Jesus said, I took food away from the Israelites when they were crossing the desert so that they would know they live by me and not by the food that they can pick out of the garden every day. I want them to know they live by me. There is a goal for transformation, not pleasantness. The Bible uses images like a living sacrifice. So I want you to worship God, not because he just makes life easy, but because you're learning to follow him and be like him. Jesus said it's like being pruned. Right? If you are a vine that you want to grow, you're going to be pruned. There's trouble. It's like, wait a minute, why are you doing this to me? He says, no, I'm helping you grow. He uses the image of discipline. He says, what good is a father who never disciplines his children? He says, this is a critical thing to recognize the goodness of God in the hard times. So how are we to live in following the ways of God? And it's to recognize that there's trouble. That's a part of it. And yet there's a rich presence of God, richer than we can understand, when we go to him in trouble, leading to the joy that is ours. And so this is why the theme verse, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Jesus said that trouble is a part of the journey. So cast your cares on the Lord. One thing I want to highlight here, the righteous, I don't know what goes through your mind when you see that. I think really good person. Right? So the really good people won't be shaken. But I'm convinced, again, looking at how the word is used, these are the people who cast their cares on the Lord. These are the people who are trusting him through trouble. He says, if you will fear God, meaning to turn to him, to trust him, you will never be shaken. Because he is a solid foundation. If that's where you're turning in trouble, nothing can shake you. And he, God, will sustain you. In our trouble, a key thing is to cast our cares on God. And that is to pray. Prayer is central to this fellowship, this richness with him. When we share our hearts, and in a minute we're going to see, sometimes sharing our hearts means not cleaning up our feelings and our thoughts. We're tempted to say, let's make it all nice and neat and say what we're supposed to say. But the Psalms show us that God accepts a raw struggle in the midst of trying to understand his way. Prayer is not something that we learn the technique. Prayer is, at its core, the work of God in us. And so I'm just going to take a moment to pray that God would help us as we continue in this service to pray. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your honesty with us about the journey of life. We thank you so much for the hope that is ours, and yet we long for a richer awareness of your goodness in the lives we live today. We thank you for inviting us to pray. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would help us to pray. Jesus, teach us to pray. Teach us how to pray, yes, but even more, teach us to pray. Help us to see the trouble we encounter, an invitation to pray. Help us, even in the service today, to come to you to pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.